Vishnu Sahasranam. I'm speaking on Vishnu Sahasranam after quite a long time. I didn't speak on this. Name 430 is Artha. It's a well-known word for persons who partake in Vedic culture and for persons who are readers of Srila Prabhupada's books. It comes up with the terms dharma, artha, kama, moksha. It's also commonly used to mean that which is spiritual. We have the term adhyatmik, which means spiritual. And there's another term, paramartha. Paramartha means our supreme artha. So that's coming from a different perspective, but it's another meaning of spiritual. That which is... So what is artha? Well, in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, artha... Srila Prabhupada translates it as economic development. That's the usual way it's translated. It can also mean money. When we say the word money in the modern age, we tend to think of some pieces of paper, but more in terms of wealth. Just like here, even in this area of Sri Lanka, which we're in, it's a somewhat remote area, people, they may not use money very much because they can produce their food locally and then they may barter some food like this. So, dhanavan, what is that? Dhanyavan, what is that? Gavayodha. Dhanavan, dhanyavan, dhanavan, yeah. Another word for wealth is dhan, dhanam, which means wealth. So one who has got grains and cows is considered to be wealthy in Vedic culture, something tangible. Whereas money, the money in your pocket, the next day it can be, the value can decrease by 50%, 100%, or it may just go out of currency, as happened in Burma. I just arrived there once, some years ago. And the currency, they just said that all these high currency notes, all of a sudden, they're valueless. They just stole the money from the people, like that. Whereas if you have cows and land, that is tangible wealth. So it means wealth. And it also means a purpose or meaning. So paramartha, the highest meaning is that which is spiritual. So in these two, although they're different meanings, adhyatmik, which means that which is in relationship to spirit, the soul, and paramartha, these terms are often used more or less as synonyms. There's that quite well-known ashram in Rishikesh, Paramart. Was that just last year, was it? Last year, about this time of year, we're spending a long time here, so we spent a long time in Rishikesh. The Ganga is there, the Ganga is here also. All the rivers here are called Ganga. The Sinhalese word for river, so I learned, is Ganga. And just like in Rishikesh, you can hear the Ganga flowing all the time, so we can hear this little Ganga flowing. So Paramart, so this is a name for Vishnu. Krishna means Artha. It means the purpose, the object, wealth, that for the sake of which we do something. Now everyone does something for some purpose. Mostly. Of course, the children may play, or the puppies or kittens may play, just for fun. Well, I guess there's a purpose. They don't, most, they don't make any philosophy about it, but playing. But people are purposeful. Even when they get older, play becomes so serious. I remember I was maybe in the airport somewhere when I was, maybe when I was coming from Chennai. Recently I saw in an airport, there was in the TV screen. I get a lot of education from the TV screens at the airports. So there was some cricket match, and there was some guy standing, I think he must have been Australian. He had a look on his face of complete seriousness, as if he was leading the charge to save the world from invaders from outer space or something. He was playing a cricket match. But look on his face of chewing some gum, as if he was completely serious. It is very serious because there's a lot of artha, a lot of money involved. So they take it very seriously. So people are purposeful, and in the Western world, that's one reason why they've become... He doesn't understand. He only understands Sinhalese. He's listening. All right. You can come inside if you like. In the Western world, they put a lot of value on purpose, being industrious. Don't be a slob. A slob means someone who sits around and... Not a Slav. I didn't say a Slav. It's almost the same. Slob means someone who sits around and does nothing. Lazy. But industrial. How did the Europeans become so prominent in the world? Because of their industriousness. In America, that's very much part of the culture. That how did America come up from nothing? There was just people, there were no whiteies, there were no white skins there who developed the whole culture, the whole country. They weren't there 300 years ago. But they developed it because of industriousness. They want to develop. So Srila Prabhupada translated artha as economic development. Otherwise, economy here, you see the economy here, what people, there's some fruit is growing wild. With a little effort, you can grow some grains. There are fish in the river. We don't eat fish, but there's in Sri Lanka, fish is a major part of the diet. Easy to get, no major expense involved. So people are not very industrious. Actually, the British, they had a very poor opinion of the Sinhalese people. They thought they're just lazy. They don't work hard. But then why work hard if you don't have to? Polynesians. They never the same thing. You don't even have to build a house. The climate throughout the year is pleasant. Surrounded by water, they go out and catch some fish time to time. And there's breadfruit trees. That gives enough carbohydrates. So nothing to work for. So the Americans also in Samoa, I guess they thought these people are used. So they taught them how to play. Now they play rugby down there under the Australian influence. A very aggressive game, but that aggression wasn't there in their culture. Just relax. Of course, that's also useless. Simply to relax. One should see, just like we can see here in Sri Lanka, even though it seems idyllic in many ways, but people are suffering also. They're intelligent enough to know that they're suffering. So what human being means, he sees there's purpose and there's meaning. Atato brahma jignyasa. One should inquire into what is the ultimate meaning. Atata. There's not the word artha. It's atta. Atta. Now. Therefore. Atartha. Atato. So What is the ultimate purpose? All philosophy, science, this all rests on the question, why is everything going on? And of course, in Buddhism, that question is rejected. Everything's rejected. There's no ultimate meaning according to them. Actually, it's very, very contradictory, the whole thing. But what is the ultimate meaning? People are philosophical. They look in philosophy. There's epistemology. How do we ascribe meaning to anything? Then ontology, what is the basis of everything? Ethics, what is good? But what is good and what is bad? What should be done and what should not be done? But what is this atato brahma jignasa? This comes from the question, what is the ultimate artha? What is the ultimate meaning? Why? The big why? All human knowledge is developed on the basis of what, when, how, where. And also there may be why, just like why did the people of India vote the BJP government into power? But that's a little, these are all little whys, the big why. Why are we suffering? Why do we have to die? What is the ultimate meaning? Now, of course, there are some people who say that everything is meaningless. Asatyam apratishtam te. There's no ultimate truth. There's no ultimate basis to anything. These people are called, that's the symptom of demons. They say there's no meaning. As Srila Prabhupada points out about the Mayavadis, they say that there's no ultimate meaning to the world, but they're very busy enjoying it. People who espouse this impersonal philosophy. Impersonal, that can be understood in two ways. Impersonal means they say that the ultimate truth is not a person. Or that they say that there is no personality. There's no personality, doesn't exist at all. So there you get Mayavadis. Mayavadi, Nirvishesha, and Shunyavadi. They come in two categories of impersonalists. So, if we don't find what the ultimate meaning is, or if we wrongly ascribe the meaning to be something impersonal, then we come back to the other meaning, let us enjoy life, for which money is required, artha, wealth. Now, even in a place where there is, you can simply not work very hard and all your needs are there, then still some people are interested in getting wealth. Because that is not only for the... Generally we think artha, wealth, as something we get money, we can enjoy. We can buy things, we can buy... so many things for sense enjoyment. Sense enjoyment. A car, a helicopter. What else? A car, Rolls Royce car. so many things for enjoyment. But there's also a matter of prestige, to show one is greater than others. Basically, the enjoyment is the same for everyone. Whether you have $1 trillion or you have not even 3 paisa in your pocket. What we eat, the pleasure is the same. Of course, at some level, there is poverty where people, they don't get enough to eat. There used to be a saying in North India that we're going on just by eating chapatis and dal, or in other parts of India, just by rice and dal. But then the price of dal went up so much that it's now just rice with some salt and chilies. That's all. So the people are undernourished. Malnutrition. I used to see that quite often in the villages in Bengal, that young children have big bellies, swollen bellies, due to malnutrition. And also I'm told because of eating dirt. Children, they have this. If they don't get proper nutrition, they have this craving to eat dirt. And then some disease, the name of which I don't remember. But for people who have sufficient nourishment, what do they eat? Probably they eat the same thing. You see, we in the course of our traveling and preaching, especially in countries like this, in India, where there's a big discrepancy between the poor and the rich. And some days we're in a poor man's house, sometimes we're in a very rich man's house. But the rich man and the poor man, they basically eat the same thing. Because the rich man, he can't eat very rich food all the time. He has to eat simple food. So why does the big man have to have a big house? After all, his needs are the same. He needs a place to sleep, a place to eat, a place to sit, a place to pass stool. It's for prestige. Money shows, I'm bigger than you, I'm greater than you. So that's why people are interested in artha, in money. But it doesn't bring satisfaction. That's why we see, often, we'll see the intellectuals of the world and the people who become religious. They're often from what is in the modern age called the middle class, or people who have enough. They come from a background where they have enough. They grow up with enough of their basic needs. And they find that they want something more. The poorer people, they may be satisfied, oh, let me get some money, then I can have a car. Someone in this area who owns a car must be a prestigious person. Even in India, it's prestigious still. You're cut above everyone else to have a car. But in America, everyone has a car, pretty much. In North Carolina. Not in New York City, because it's useless to have a car. Only get a car means you get stuck in a traffic jam, or in LA. But I think there are more cars than adults in America. Maybe, could be, because some people have two cars, three cars, something like that. Yeah, especially in New York City and LA. Still in LA, there are plenty of cars. But anyway, the point is that everyone has a car. It's not a big thing. It's everyone has a car. But for someone in a village in Sri Lanka to have a car, it's a major thing to be aspired for. So for people who grow up with enough of all these things, then they start to look elsewhere. What they don't find any meaning. We're talking about the word artha here, meaning, or meaning money. People don't find any meaning in trying to get enough money so they can get a car, because they already have a car, or it's a very easy thing for them to get, or to get food. They don't think about how can I get enough food, because they've never been in a situation where they didn't have enough food. So then they become interested in on the mental sphere, or the intellectual sphere, or they may go down to the drugs and rock and roll sphere. And they may come to the spiritual also. We find among that Srila Prabhupada's followers in America, they're mostly, great majority came from what we would call the middle class. People who grew up with enough of everything and looking around the world and seeing what's going on, what's the meaning. There's got to be more than just, as we later learned, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. I know myself, going to school, I was expected to go on to university, and I thought, hey, wait a minute, what am I going to do there? It's going to be like school, and school's bad, I'm just waiting to get out of this place, and then go to university, and then what? And then become like everyone else. I don't want to be like them. There's got to be something better than just getting a job, getting a wife, getting a divorce. What's all this? There's got to be something else. I got to cut out of this. So looking for meaning. Ultimately, what is everyone looking for? Well, George Harrison, in the beginning, in his introduction or his to the Krishna book, which he wrote with the help of Shyamasundar, Shyamasundar Prabhu, said that everyone is looking for Krishna. Not everyone realizes it, but everyone is looking for Krishna. He's the ultimate meaning, because he's the ultimate source of everything. Now, of course, if we say that, not everyone will accept it. But we can put it in another way. We can say that everyone is looking for happiness. Is it not? Who can deny? Even someone who is a masochist, it's a strange condition. People who, masochist means someone who gives themselves pain because they get pleasure out of it. It's a funny thing. You can see, just like in this Muharram, you don't have Shia Muslims here, do you? And you have here? In Sri Lanka, there are Shia. In Hyderabad, there are plenty of them. It's a big festival. That they, on that festival, they whip themselves. Did you take part in that festival ever? The Hindus, they also join in the festival. It used to be that the Hindus would join the Muslim festivals, and the Muslim joined the Hindu festivals. But I think that's less of that nowadays. They whip themselves. And in this way, they feel they're partaking in the torture that was given to their... Or is it Ali or something? You don't know. Probably even the Muslims don't know the background to it very much. So they feel somehow in a roundabout way, they feel some pleasure. Otherwise, why would they do it? If they actually felt completely wrong in every way doing it. Well, even people might, some people, they may take pleasure in being very bad and doing wrong. But that it's a perverse kind of pleasure. They may just go and kill a bunch of people and be stone-hearted about it. But they're doing it for some purpose. What is the purpose? Ultimately, to get some pleasure. The person who shot John Lennon down, probably people here in the hills of Sri Lanka have never heard of John Lennon. Their life is not any the worse for it. Haripada Prabhu, myself, all of us from our generation, we all knew the name John Lennon very well. Just like people in India know the name of Sachin Tendulkar. It's like that. Very well known name. So someone shot him dead. Why? It seems that he wanted to get known. If you want to get known, you want to become famous, and you have nothing to become famous for, you can kill someone who's famous. Then you become famous. It's one way of becoming famous. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying that some people do. Just the point to become well known. People are, this is their art, they're looking for meaning. They're trying to get some happiness. So the secret of happiness is to understand what is the source of all happiness. That is Krishna. Purpose. Another. What is our ultimate purpose? Everyone is pleasure seeking. Everyone wants pleasure. The pleasure where we'll find Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. And when we're cut off from Krishna, that is anartha. Then we're in a situation where whatever we do, we'll always remain dissatisfied. There's the atheistic theory. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. They say that there's no God, there's no purpose, there's no basis, there's no ultimate truth. Everything's going on just like that. Wonderful theory. It's called science. Anthropic principle, and so on. And then what's left when you take all that away, then just anyway, just enjoy yourself. And enjoyment means ultimately come to sex life. Or there may be so many pleasures. Enjoy yourself. But there's no pleasure in this world. Happiness is with Krishna. Now, why do people even talk about atheism and promote it? Why? If, what's their purpose in doing so? They think, well, we'll save people from being misled by religion. So what if they're misled by religion? If there's no soul, if there's no person, then anyway we're just a bunch of chemicals. So what does it matter? What do you mean misled? No one's misleading anyone. There's no personality, there's nothing. And even if you do suffer, so what? It's just a bunch of chemicals. And it's all finished in a blip of time. So why do they do that? Because they feel they have a purpose. You know, we have to save the people of the world from believing in God. They also have a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. Everything is purposeful. The sentient beings, everything they do is purposeful. Even the bacteria, they do for a purpose. And to say that ultimately there's no purpose, that is meaningless. So what is the ultimate purpose? The ultimate purpose of every living being is to enjoy, to feel happiness. Yes. As I've said many times, it struck me at the time. I never forgot that. I was present when Srila Prabhupada was asked by Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation, which sounds like a very big thing because it sounds like the BBC, British Broadcasting, it's just some local radio station. He asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the meaning of life? Very good question. Srila Prabhupada replied, Prabhupada said, to surrender to God. Prabhupada said, to enjoy. I was surprised. Maybe the other 100 or so people in the room were also, maybe 80 or so, were also surprised. Srila Prabhupada said, everyone is looking for enjoyment, but we don't know what is enjoyment. We can find enjoyment with Krishna. It is our nature to want to be happy because we are part and parcel of Krishna who is happy. It is our nature to want to understand how everything is going on because that is part of God consciousness. Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means eternal. Chit means consciousness or understanding. So people are trying to understand and they invent so many ways of understanding and different philosophers come and go. All their philosophies are anartha. They may find something good or true. If we see Srila Prabhupada's discussion of various Western philosophers. Sometimes he'll agree, yes, that is correct. But you just need to fine-tune it a bit and put Krishna there. In the Vedic philosophies also, there are the Shaddarshan, those which derive from the Vedas. So all of them have something which can be accepted within the ultimate, within Vedanta, which is the ultimate understanding, Vedanta, the proper understanding of. And within Vedanta there are two main divisions also, but they all have something, just like Mimamsa, their philosophy is totally materialistic, and they themselves admit it, and they say, but they've made very good tools for, hermeneutic tools. For hermeneutics means praman tattva, I guess is the for understanding the Vedas. So that's accepted by all Vedic schools. So they're all trying to understand what is the meaning, what is the meaning, what is the meaning. Ultimately, we have to come to Krishna. Best philosophy. Then there'll be arguing of philosophy. We'll find, if we find this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that is the philosophy in which there are There are no ultimate contradictions. All contradictions are resolved. The problems in philosophy is there's always some contradiction. And whatever you find out, you can always refute it. So the philosophers go on and on and on, and they go round and round in circles. But the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by its very name, achintya-bheda-bheda, it, in the very name of the philosophy, it accommodates contradictions. There is difference and non-difference. But it is inconceivable, means it can't be understood on the mundane platform in philosophy or science. They reject the principle of privileged access. If something's true, it should be accessible to everyone. You can't just say, well, I said this, therefore it's right. But actually, privileged access is there, just like in science, it's supposed to be E equals MC squared everywhere. Who can understand it? Very, very few people. So the truth may not be available to everyone. It is theoretically, anyone could be trained to understand the rationale behind E equals MC squared. But not everyone's inclined to do so. Even those who try to do, not everyone has the brain power or the stamina to follow through. So not everyone will understand. So in the same thing, Krishna is open to everyone, but not everyone will understand. There is privileged access in that sense. So ultimately, everyone is looking for Krishna. Krishna is that one. If you put before so many zeros, if you put one at the beginning, that one is Krishna. Ekam advitiyam. He is the one behind whom there is no one equal. Asamardhava. No one is equal to. No one is greater. Shankaracharya, in his commentary on this name, says that he says the same thing. The name Artha for Vishnu means he is the one who is sought after by everyone because he is the very form of bliss. That's the reason. Krishna is all attractive. He's attractive by his beauty, by his flute playing, by his philosophy, by all the senses. His prasadam, his smell, everything about Krishna. So the sum of it all is all happiness. And actually in this world, we find that even if someone has beauty, they may have several beautiful wives. They may themselves be very beautiful. They may be very knowledgeable and learned. They may have much money. They may have prestige. They may have power, but still they may not be happy. But Krishna has all opulence, all happiness. So that is why an intelligent person seeks out Krishna. Jnanavan mam bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadite vasudeva sarvamiti. Krishna is all in all. He is the ultimate purpose of everything. But it may be samahatma sudurlabha. Maybe a very rare person who understands that. Because the artha of this world seems to be very relishable. The what this world has to offer. Oh, what a wonderful world we live in. What there's another song from Louis Armstrong. Oh, what a wonderful world. What is it? I look at the flowers. I don't know. I see the children playing, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And then he died. That was a very big song. That was top of the charts for a long time. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. There's another famous black blues singer who died recently, B.B. King. And famous means in America, not in Sri Lanka. Whoever heard of B.B. King in Sri Lanka, apart from me and Haripada. But he was singing the blues. The blues is a kind of song which, to comfort yourself in your misery, sung by the black slaves. It came out of black slaves in America and their miserable life. But he was going on singing as long as he could. He must have been about 90 when he died. 80s, he was old, and he was going on singing and singing because he said, the only time I can find any peace of mind is when I'm singing, because otherwise he finds life is so miserable. He was famous. He was highly respected. I guess he had enough money, because he was, you know, money. If you're a famous musician, you become rich in the West. You get royalties on all your songs. Yeah, he's feeling life is so miserable. So what a wonderful world. But the wonderful world, where is Louis Armstrong now? He's somewhere in the world, but not in the same body. But I'm just thinking that two people from a very similar kind of background, they were both famous black jazz, blues, whatever, musicians. But one is thinking, what a wonderful world, and the other thing, what a blue world. Blues, they call it the blues. Because if you see the aura, if someone's feeling depressed, becomes all blue and black. So they say the blue, feeling blue, I'm feeling blue, means I'm feeling depressed. Ah. But actually that's a fact, that this world is miserable. We're trying to find happiness, but real meaning is to find Krishna. Gyanavan Mahaprabhu. Gyani means they're looking. What's ultimate knowledge? What is the ultimate meaning? They're not satisfied. The Gyani is above the Karmi. The Karmi is satisfied. Let me get pleasure in this life, or let me act in such a way that I'll get pleasure in the next life. But the Gyani thinks, what's the use? Where? What's the use? Going up to the heavenly planets, coming down again. Sri Aishwarya Prajapsava, having women, wealth, children. What's the use? Simply getting born again and dying again and again. What's the point? Then they become a Gyani, trying to find out what is Paramartha. I said the name of this ashram in Rishikesh, Paramartha. So they're Mayavadis, so for them Paramatma is some merging into oneness. But beyond the oneness, beyond the light in Isha Upanishad, remove the, there's this light, the light, let me merge in the light. Go through the light and come to the source of the light. That is Krishna. Remove the dazzling effulgence, yeah. Isha Upanishad was in the early days, before we had so many books, Srila Prabhupada, he had the devotees all learn this. He taught them all the verses. Yeah, but later, there wasn't so much emphasis. I think when Gita came out, in Nectar of Devotion. Yeah, because there are only very few books. Nectar of Devotion, such important work. So, Artha, Gyanavan, one who has actual knowledge, he comes to know that our real purpose, our real meaning, our real happiness is in Krishna. Then, Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate, then he surrenders to Krishna. Why? You may say, oh, in Krishna. All right, so, okay. One kind of liberation is Salokya, Samipya. I'll go and be with Krishna. But you can't go without surrendering. Okay, Krishna is the source of all happiness, so I'm going to Vaikuntha. I'll go in there and then I'll be with him, but we have to surrender. There are terms and conditions. Mame kam sharanam raja. There are terms and conditions. It's not on our terms and conditions. We have to know who Krishna is. If we think, well, Krishna is all happiness, okay, let me enjoy. Let's listen to hear Rasa Leela and think, But we have to understand who Krishna is. Everything is working maya dhyakshena prakriti. Everything is working, this all energy is working under Krishna's direction. So our position, mamaivangsho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Not that I'm equal to Krishna. Krishna is all happiness. Okay, well, I'll become Krishna. No, it doesn't work. There is a method to understand that he is supreme and a method to surrender to him. And then, by his mercy, we can come to him. It's not that, not simply by understanding him. Gyanavan, Vasudevas. What is the Gyanavan, the one who gets full knowledge, understands Vasudeva Sarvam. Krishna is all in all. But then he surrenders to Krishna. To understand that Krishna is all in all also means to understand my position, that I'm not all in all. I can never become equal to Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate destiny. Everyone's looking for something. Ultimately we have to find Krishna. It's the ultimate destination. That we may find, I want this, I want this, I want that, I want that. Go here and there, looking for this and that. I want liberation. There's still further to go. Paramartha. The ultimate destiny. Paramartha means Param Brahma. Paramartha, the Mayavadis think Paramartha is Brahma, spiritual. But Param Brahma, the supreme spiritual, is Krishna. So Krishna has to be sought. Then we have to find how to find him by devotion. But devotion is not simply some philosophical method. Okay, patram pushpam palam. Okay, offer it to Krishna. But bhaktya, that is a development of the heart. So we have to understand all these things. It's not just some formula. Press this button, that button, like getting out of a maze. We may think getting liberations. How to find to get out of a maze. If you're in a maze, high walls, how are you going to find out? If someone comes from above and picks you up, very easy. You say, there's cheating. You got out of the maze by cheating. But you got out. Krishna takes you out by his mercy. Instead of trying to find your way this way, that way, coming to a dead end, you go on very hopefully, yes, take a left, and then there's a right, then another left, then another right. I'm going on such a long way. And then after a long time, dead end. Oh, no. Oh, let me go back and try. There's another way I could have gone. And we go on and on. But then ultimately, Krishna comes on Garuda and picks us up and takes us out. So when we find that we're completely hopeless in our own efforts to find out what is the purpose and the meaning, and we surrender to Krishna, you lift me up. And then we come to Krishna. And ultimately we come to a stage where there's beyond philosophy. We're simply loving Krishna. That will be discussed in the next name. But the point here is that we have to make Krishna the meaning of our life because he is. We say we make Krishna the meaning of our life, but actually he is the meaning of our life. It's just a matter of recognizing it and acting in that way. So otherwise everything is anartha. Everything is meaningless. Without Krishna, everything is meaningless. Our life will find meaningfulness and purpose if we come to Krishna. People try to, they find, let me join some charitable organization and work for the benefit of others, uplift of others, get some meaning in my life, but it's all incomplete without Krishna. Hare Krishna. Well, I said I'd speak briefly, and it was not so brief. Everything's brief. The whole life is brief. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there because you have still in the, we're in the Sandhya stage in between the festival not going on and going on. It's going on, but it's not really fully going on. So still have to accommodate people and let them settle in and this and that. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. I hope you found this meaningful. Didn't find that you wasted your time without any purpose. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.